Lisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today. Another great and wonderful, fantastic day. Well, I'm expecting a great, 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 powerful move. Oh, my God. I am expecting God just to blow my mind today with his love and his blessings. You know, I tell you, there is no limit to what God can do. What he's done for another, he will do for you. The only limitations that God has, hear me good, the only limitations that God has are the ones that you put there. If you limit God, that's what he'll do for you. But he said, this is what he said about his own self. You know how it is when we say things about ourselves. It's always more powerful than even what others say. So here's what God says about himself. He says, I can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That tells me that my little pea brain can't even fathom all that God could do. You know, could you imagine if everyone could write a book? They could probably write a set of encyclopedias about all that God has done for us, regardless of how long you've been on this earth. Because he knew us before the foundations of the world. We're going to have greatness, and here's what we want you to get from this particular broadcast, from this show, each and every morning, is what we want you to know, that your words are powerful, that your words have life, that your words are going to accomplish all that you set them out to do, just as his word did. Remember, you are created in his image. In the image of God created you in his likeness. So if his word will accomplish what he sets it out to do, so will yours. So I am advising you as a coach, I'm advising, suggesting, just making a mere mention that we must watch over our word. We must be careful. Now, it's like now, I finally got it. Why the Bible says, don't talk too much. Because with a lot of talking, you can't do all that watching. We have to watch over our words. Good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Welcome, Mr. Paul. Welcome, Kiba. Welcome those of you who are listening via various other feeds and to Blog Talk Radio. You know, there's no telling who Blog Talk Radio is hooked up to. So we welcome all of our international listeners. We welcome those who are right down the street, even around the corner. We welcome those who are calling from California, those who wake up early, those who stay up late, whatever it is that you're doing, because this is a season. This is such a season to get prepared, to empower ourselves for the launch that God is about to release on us. He is about to release his greatest blessings in and over your life. But for many people, they're really not going to experience a great revolution, a great change, because the words that they say are going to negate the very thing that is in your heart and the thing you're wishing for. So I just wanted to open up with that little bit of, you know, advice, suggestion, that this is a season for great empowerment and impact. Remember, the laborers are the ones that are few. So if you ever have that thought that, you know, there's no need for me to do what I need to do because there's so many people already doing it, don't ever let that thought take root in your mind. And if it has already, you need to uproot it and get it out. Because he said that the laborers are few. It's the harvest that is plenty. So there is, in other words, there's plenty of people everywhere and throughout the universe. There are plenty of people that need to be empowered. They need to be changed. Their lives, I'm telling you, they're everywhere. So just wanted to encourage you with that this morning as we delve into this topic of how to resolve conflict. You know, conflict resolution is a great tool to have no matter where. Now, I know initially I said conflict resolution in the workplace, but when I began to do the research, it was like, no, we just need basic conflict resolution everywhere, at home, at work, in the church, in the community, in the government, every place. We need to have awesome, awesome conflict resolution strategies, and we need that in our tool belt for sure. Now, conflict, the reason why we need to resolve conflict can be a wicked spirit that can get into a situation and can cause animosity. It could cause dissent, you know, a lot of dissension. It could cause anger, you know, any angry people. You know, it could be that, you know, there's a conflict that has not been resolved. People within themselves, the internal conflict. So some of the tools that we're going to give you here today, you will be able to use them in various areas of your life, and you will be much happier. And you can also teach these. Now, if you're writing these down, great, because you can then go and teach these to your children, to your coworkers, to your staff, to your friends, your colleagues, your partners, your members of your church, your congregation. You can teach them to anyone because it's important that you have peace around you. You know, we're supposed to be the peacemaker. We're supposed to bring peace into a situation wherever we go. And yes, you know, we wish we had learned these years ago, but it is what it is. You're learning now. So conflict resolution can really, really, and in the company, in the workplace, this is so, so important because it can shut down a workplace. And a lot of people, I'm telling you, I see it every day. Every day I see people quitting their jobs or being fired from their jobs. Once that happens, now you have a challenge with paying your bills. You have a challenge with taking care of your family. Now the family is stretched and stressed, all because people didn't have great conflict resolution strategies. So we want to end that. We want to put an end to conflict. Now, also, many of you know that this is Domestic Violence Month, Awareness Month. We don't mean go out and commit domestic violence, but this is, we want to put an end to domestic violence. So this is a month, the month of October is the month that they chose to really highlight and proliferate all of the work that's going on, all the services that are in your communities to help with people who are suffering and victims of domestic violence, whether in the past, currently, and people that are even still getting involved in these situations. So, but what's at the heart of a lot of this domestic violence are what? Rage, frustration, anger, people with animosity, okay? Disagreements erupt. We have people with differences of opinion. I mean, hello, it's okay if someone differs in their opinion from you. You see, just because someone has a different opinion, it doesn't mean we have to go into a rage. We don't have to get frustrated. We don't have to start yelling and beginning to attack people personally or holding animosity in our heart. We must learn how to resolve conflict. Conflict is going to come whenever you have these kinds of things, people with differences of opinions, people who sometimes are angry about other things. There's so many ways that conflict can come about. But typically, if you have people with different opinions, there's going to be a conflict. But it's not the conflict that is the problem. People will always have conflicts. That's not the issue. It's not the problem. The problem is our resolution tools, how we resolve the conflict. There is many a marriage that could have been saved had people, both parties, understood how to resolve the conflict. There are many couples who would gladly tell you 10 years later, 20 years later, when they look back over the situation, they can realize and admit that, wow, if we had, you know, had some different strategies on how to resolve conflicts, we would have done so way back then, but they didn't. And so that's why we're here now, to give you those solutions, those tips. Now, you know, yelling and you know, being vindictive, attacking people personally, disagreements, rage. You know, I was looking at the news just the other day. I think yesterday, actually, there was an ex-NFL player who, you know, ran his car off the side of the road or something because he had been brought up on charges of abuse with his wife, you know, or girlfriend, rather, or something like that. I'm like, what? You know, it never fails that during the month of October you have some crazy, bizarre domestic violence situation. But not even just that. Look in our communities, our children going to school. I mean, almost on any given day, you can contact your local school principals or your local school superintendents and just, sometimes you ought to do it just for the sake of it, and just see on a day-to-day basis how many fights break out amongst our young people, teenagers, who are dealing with some of these things. They have animosity. Some children are upset that they don't have. Some children are upset that they have too much material things, but they don't have the love of the parents. Other children are upset because they have the love of the parents, but they don't have material things. Then some children are upset because they're not popular, and just crazy things going on. Then someone's upset because they have fallen in love, and the person doesn't love them back. You see, And that causes people anger. And I'm telling you, teachers disagreeing with students, students disagreeing with teachers, parents disagreeing with the way schools are. I mean, everywhere you go, conflict after conflict. Staff members not in agreement with what management is doing. Management thinking that the workers are not doing their job, and that's causing conflict. Okay? Workers feel that management doesn't care and doesn't communicate with them. That's causing conflict. And, for TV, sure, you turn on a TV program. If you watch Lifetime, oh, you expect there to be conflict. You actually paid for it. I mean, you go to the movies and pay good money today. Some movie theaters, like up here, it's about $20 per person to get into the movies today. And you pay money to go and see conflict. You go and pay to see people fight and argue, okay? I remember my days watching the soap operas. That's all it was. That's all it was. The soap operas, that's all it is. It's, you know, several hours full of conflict. And sometimes the way they resolved it was not great. But that's what we paid for, to see the fighting, the yelling, the raging, the shooting, the killing, okay? Let's face it, everyone. You give your children money to go see these movies. Don't think you don't. Okay, some of your children go and they watch it at home in the music. You know, there's music where there's conflict. This girl is fighting over this guy, or this guy is fighting over this girl, that kind of thing. Especially in the, if you listen to rap music, a lot of them are fighting over territories. I got the West Coast, you got the East Coast conflict. Some of you are very familiar with the late Biggie Smalls and Tupac Shakur. A lot of people were very angry when the conflict was resolved in a negative way that led to the death of both of these young men, gunned down in the prime of their life over a conflict of which coast could rap the best and have the most audience and the most followers and the most fans. And neither one of them, you know, got a chance to really live out and enjoy what many entertainers do enjoy. So conflict is very serious. I know here in the New Jersey area, the streets are filled with conflict that is not being resolved the proper way. So I say it's a time, high time we taught some basic general principles for, I'm going to talk about three basic types of conflict. Let me just talk about general conflict. It's just conflict that you can resolve anywhere. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about some things you can do to resolve conflict at work. And then we're going to talk for a minute about some personal relationship conflicts in your relationships so that you can have more peace, more harmony. Do you know that they say that you can get more done when you have, when you resolve the conflicts in a peaceful, loving way? Also, there's endorphins in the body that I was talking to a woman yesterday. She used to be a runner. She used to run, and she now deals with a lot of people in the sports industry, and she also is, you know, into health. But she said that these endorphins in our system, they're like a natural painkiller. When you're happy, they're released. When they're released, they help kill pains. That's why they told us, and they didn't tell us why sometimes, that stress can produce illnesses, and also that when you are happy, you can reduce illness. So stress can produce illness, and happiness can reduce it, so producing and reducing. Your choice, which do you choose? So when you're happy, when you're smiling, laughing, and you're happy, just happy thoughts, can you believe it? I was amazed to find this study and this information, and if you're a doctor, you can, you know, back this up. But when you are happy, these endorphins, I'm going to try to find information to share with you. I'm going to see if I can get her to come on the show and really do a serious teaching about this. Believe it or not, and the Bible tells us this, we're making our own selves sick. Now, it's one thing when you hear great high-level scientific medical type people saying that. You may say, oh, okay, yeah, no big deal. But when you hear me, okay, little Lisa saying that, you know this is serious and that it's real. You make yourself sick. How? By being sad and miserable, by being frustrated, being angry, holding on to animosities, having disagreements with people that you don't resolve, having a difference of opinion with a person and arguing about it and raging and yelling, personally attacking people, being vindictive. You know, that means wanting to get people back. I'm going to get you back. You're vindictive. We're making ourselves sick. Let's stop it. Let's resolve some of these conflicts. So now I know everybody's wondering, okay, how are we going to do it? Come on, bring it on, bring it on. I want to bring it on because let me tell you, I don't want to have conflict in my life. I want to be healthy. And if God has given me a natural ability to kill pain by laughing, okay, hello, we got to laugh. We sometimes can even laugh at ourselves. We got to smile. We got to think happy thoughts. No wonder he says, whatsoever is just and lovely and kind to think on this. No wonder he's trying to get health and happiness in our lives. No wonder he says, you know, I would that you would be in health and prosper. I would that you would prosper and be in good health. Even as your soul prospers, we gotta be happy people. We gotta enjoy. We gotta love so that we can be healthy, okay? Now, everybody, not just you, everybody, me, Kiva, Paul, Coach J, Coach K, Mr. Percy Walker, okay, President Obama, hello, everybody, all right, has to deal with difficult people. Come on. Let's face it. These difficult people are sometimes argumentative. They are sometimes abusive, oftentimes very stubborn, and sometimes they are combative. I mean, people will actually want to fight you. I mean, even in the grocery store, you can hardly even go grocery shopping, okay? And sometimes people are confrontational. See, every one of us will deal with difficult people at work, at home. How about you with some of those children? Oh, my God. It's a combat just to get them up in the morning and ready for school, okay? So we got to deal with this. We got our teachers, their teachers at church. I mean, that was the funniest thing to me because, you know, people think, okay, I'm going to go to church and everything's going to be perfect. But no, you get to church and there are people there ready to be stubborn, abusive, combative, even in the church. Okay, hello. Now, the question is, what can you do about it? How can you still be you? How can you get your point across, okay, without any unnecessary incident? See, we have to move away from, if we want to be healthy, see, I don't want cancer. I don't want sugar diabetes. I don't want high blood pressure. I don't want none of that junk. And if I know that I have within me, thanks to my Creator, a tool that's within my own body that reduces pain and is a medicine for many of the things that people are dying from and suffering with, even if they're not dying, they're living and suffering with it. If I know that I can stop that by telling a joke or two, by laughing, by being happy, oh, my God, I want to do it, and I would hope you would want to, too, okay? But in most cases, angry people, in most cases, not all cases, this is the research, a lot of times they just want to be heard. And I've experienced that, and some of you can probably attest to that too. There were times when, you know, even in my relationships, and he would be so angry and screaming and yelling, but a lot of times he just wanted to be heard. So what do? Okay, first thing we're going to do is we're going to be calm and just let them rant and rave. sometimes the angry person just wants to be heard, but they never really learned how to deal with their anger. They didn't know how to come and speak calmly about their problem or what they were upset about or what they were in conflict about. They didn't know how, they never learned how to do that. Okay, but you're learning. So don't think you're going to teach this to someone overnight. You all have been listening to me for months. So don't think that what is taking you months to grasp and deal with, don't think you're going to go teach this to somebody and overnight they're going to change. No, no, no. It takes time. It takes time. Now, you can always invite them to tune into the show. If they can't tune in at 7 a.m., they can always listen to the archives. Okay. Now, so they just want to be heard. A lot of times they want to be valued, they want to be loved, and they want to be listened to. The worst thing you can do sometimes for people, the worst thing we can do as human beings, is not to listen to them. And I believe that's why you always heard people say, that's why God gave you two ears and one mouth, so you can listen more than you talk. It's so true. So true. I finally, doing this study and researching for this topic this morning, it's like a revelation. I finally get it. People need to be heard. One way or another. And, you know, I even, there was a time when I listened to a woman, I can't think of her name right now. I do apologize for bringing this up, but I bring it up because I thought it was very interesting. I was on her website. She was a woman who would teach about marriage relationships, and she did a teaching on why marriages fail, or why men cheat. I believe it was why men cheat. Now, why she chose to talk about men, that's her business. I don't know. I'm just sharing with you what I read. And she said that she was a relationship expert, and she said that in her research, and after she had interviewed all these cheating men, she said what they wanted out of the person that they were having this extramarital affair with, they went to the person, not for sex, as many of us think. When our husbands cheat, it wasn't for sex, it wasn't for money. Most of us think it's for sex. It was because they wanted somebody to listen to them talk. I thought that was so profound. It wasn't because of beauty and looks. They went to the person that was listening to them talk. Now, you know, for me, because you all know, I love to talk. That really hit home for me. And I believe that when my marriage was right at the point of obstruction, I found this woman, I found her information, and we were like headed for destruction, we were headed for the end. Some of you know because you know my personal story. Let me tell you something. I quickly implemented on myself, because now you can change you overnight. When I said that you can't change overnight someone else, trust me, you can change yourself in an instant. In an instant, you can go from this and that. But you can't change other people overnight. As a matter of fact, you can't change other people ever. You can always change yourself, which could lead to the person changing. Once they observe you and once they observe your changed behavior, they can now, because we can think, that's the one thing we do that's a lot different than a lot of animals. We can think and assess things. We can now say, she changed, he changed. Maybe I'll change. I'll do that too. And so here this woman said that was, you know, why a lot of the research that she had done proved that. So people want to be heard. They want to listen to. So what I started doing was, now again, if you've been with somebody for years and years and years, and you do a lot of talking, you never let them talk, overnight you're not going to get them to start talking to you because they've already sunk into a pattern of letting you talk. And now they don't even know what to say if you were to be quiet. They wouldn't even know what to say. They would probably just sit there and stare into space. So you have to kind of bring it out of them and ask them questions. How was your day? What happened? What did you do? What did you see? What did you do? You know, that kind of thing. And once you get them talking, they're going to soon realize, wow, this person cares about me. This person values me. Now, that's just, I just a little sidebar I threw in there. But some of the strategies that you can implement so that you can have a better environment personally in your, you know, personal life and wherever you go, just talking about resolving conflicts in general. Yes. Good morning. Good morning. Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. For your promotion. Wow. Awesome. Awesome. On your promotion, Miss, okay, back and forth, I'm going to be going to the chat room, and when I see comments, I'll make them. But congratulations, let's all celebrate and congratulate Miss Kiva on her promotion, which has many, many positive possibilities. Awesome, great, great. So here are some things you could do in resolving conflicts. So since people who are argumentative, a lot of times they need to be loved, they need to be valued, and they need to be listened to, you got to let them go ahead and get it out without you taking revenge, without you being vindictive and having to say something back. Nope, you're going to just stay calm. Let them vent, okay? Be still. Don't even move. Let the storm ride its course, okay? A lot of times, angry people, they want to provoke you because now their adrenaline is flowing, and they want that tug of war. They want to go back and forth. But if you just stay calm, don't move, don't roll your eyes, don't suck your teeth, don't do anything. Just sit calm, like a statue almost. Okay? Because, you know, there's nothing positive that's going to come out of arguing when people are screaming and yelling, okay? So just sit there calmly. Now, that's one thing you can do. Another thing that you can do is let the other person do all the talking. Let them just tire themselves out with conversation. And pretty soon they'll probably, you know, remember the little baby? The little babies who just cry themselves to sleep. Well, essentially, you've got to let them talk themselves tired, okay? You sit there calm, don't move. You know, a lot of times the other person, that's all they want is really just to be heard. They want to feel important. Believe it or not, you know how they say people feel that their names are important. So, you know, a lot of times in sales industry, they first thing they teach you that you've got to remember people's names. That's the main thing. People love when you call their names. They love it. They love it. They love it. But they also love when you listen to them. I think that's one of the reasons that people who are in sales, they learn this first off, is how to listen. That's the main, that's like their number one chief skill. If you're in any kind of sales where you have a client, your chief skill, talent, or ability to win customers and to keep them is that you have to be able to listen to them. You have to know what they, first of all, how are you going to know what they want if you don't listen? Yes, array. Yes, yes. Yeah, calm. That does work, Kiva. It really works. On the job, when your boss, your coworker is arguing and raging, be calm. At home, when your husband and your wife is being combative, when they're arguing, when they're raging, just stay calm. I promise you. You will win if you stay calm. But if you strike back, see, remember, we all deal with what? Conflict, that's right. It's not the conflict, it's your reaction to it. You know, somebody said that life is 10%, only 10% of what happens to us. But it's 90, life is 90%, 90 of how you react to it. Okay? So a person could say, well, I was, you know, traumatized. I was abused. I was raped. I was robbed. I was left behind. I was rejected. I was thrown to the trash. I was looked over. I was picked over. I was thrown in the ditch like Joseph. I was put into prison. Okay? I was chased down like David was by Saul. I was looked down upon like the woman with the issue of blood. I was talked about. I was the outs. I was the outskirt. I was the person that they walked across the street when they saw me coming. So 10% of our life is what has happened to us. I was born with no money. My parents left me. We were poor, okay? But 90% of life is how I react to it. So how did I react to being rejected, to being left behind, to being abused? How did I react to it? 90% of how you proceed in life and how you succeed in life is that 90% of your reaction to what happened. All right, so you're going to remain calm. You're going to let the other person do all the talking. Let them talk themselves tired. Let them talk themselves to sleep. And then you just say good night, pull the cover up over them. If they're at work, believe me, they'll get tired very quickly. Don't say a thing. And I know this is going to be hard for some people because for some of us, we have built a life on with a quick response. I got to respond back. I can't let them think I'm a punk. I can't let them think I'm a get over. I can't let them think that I'm a wimp. I can't let them think that, you know, they can just walk all over me. Hey, I'm tough. I'm bad. I'm this. You see, that's how a lot of people have been taught and trained. You know, my mother taught me, you don't ever do this. My daddy taught me, you don't do this, you don't do that. Well, think about it. All the times that you responded back with the yelling and the arguing and the fussing, make a list of where it got you. Make a list of the success that it got you. And on top of that, don't forget my opening discussion about the endorphins. They're painkillers. It's an internal healing mechanism that you stop it when you're mad, upset, and angry all the time. And I'm not saying you can't get angry. Absolutely. We will. We just said that we're going to deal with conflict everywhere we go. There are people around us that are combative, argumentative, stubborn, abusive. All right? We know that. But how are you going to react to it? That's the key to life. That's real success. Now, the third thing I want to point out is that, you know what you could do is, you know what? Let me see this other person's point of view. Just maybe. Now, I know for some people you're going, yuck. I don't ever want to see the other person's point of view. You're not Coach Release. That's absolutely stupid. Why would I want to see their point of view? They're wrong. Dead wrong. Period. End of story. That's what most people think. No. You got to take time to see their point of view. Imagine. Just imagine if you could. Yourself in that person's shoes. As a matter of fact, try to even look hard for areas even to agree with them. Even on one little tiny thing, you may see some agreement. We're talking this morning, if you just tuned in, welcome to the show. We're talking about resolving conflict, giving you some steps and some tools on how to resolve conflict. And I hope you're getting something out of this morning. I hope this is really helping someone so that you can have a peaceful day, so that you can have better health, so that you can do more to help more people. Now, there's also something you can do when you say things like, oh, and I used to tell my students this when I used to teach at Yeshiva, which was an all-male Jewish school in the city of Newark. And I used to teach business courses there about 2.5 years ago. And then they were very argumentative, you know. I think a lot of times they were joking around, but they loved to argue at each other, shoot down another person's opinion. And so I used to get them to say, I see your point. You know, just to calm things, because they could get into an argument, and oh my God, they were really funny. But I used to love teaching them. But here's the thing. You could say to a person, oh, I see your point. I'm telling you, that will calm them down, as if you just gave them a sleeping pill. When you say to somebody, I see your point, it validates people. When you say that, I see your point, they have a point too. We all have an opinion. You cannot. When you discredit somebody's opinion, you basically just ripped that person apart. You really did. On the job, you know, when you're in meetings, board meetings or whatever, if you're in the church, you have church meetings, wherever you are, you have to validate people's opinion. And you could do it by simply saying, oh, I see your part. This, number one, helps to reduce anger because you're showing them that you're listening to them, okay? Now, if the situation does turn abusive, that's verbally or physically, God forbid, now you got to put a stop to that. You got to be firm, but you got to be calm at the same time. So you could say something like, I know my sister used this one day, and you could say something like, you know, I understand. I see right now that you're upset. I see right now that, you know, you absolutely, I know you're angry right now, and I know you're going to say things that you really don't mean. You see, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Let them know, I know you're going to say things you don't mean. So I'm going to just excuse myself out of the situation, and, you know, we could talk about this later when you calm down. And do you leave? Because if you stay, it's going to keep going. So you just leave, okay? Now go into another room, to another building, into another, you know, you have to leave the city, do whatever it takes, but just leave. And then also, if you are wrong, God forbid, but you might be, calmly and quickly admit it and take responsibility. You could say something like, oh, you know what, you're right, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry, I'm at fault here. What do I need to do to fix this? And some of these strategies I learned also in my communications classes. It's some of the same thing, because conflicts, dealing with conflict resolution is a part of how we communicate. It's how we learned how to communicate. I mean, face the facts that we might be wrong every now and again. Also, the last thing I want to let you know, that you could probably use something called the power of visualization. Okay, if this is like a boss or a coworker, you know, it could be a spouse, or it could be a child, a parent even, okay? This is what you could do, and I do this all the time in my marriage. Try to imagine that person as a spiritual being. Don't just see their natural side. You know, we were taught this in Sunday school some years back. Try to see everybody as a spiritual being first. Remember, we're spiritual beings trying to have a human experience, not human beings trying to have a spiritual experience. We're spiritual first. Remember, we were thought up in God's mind before we ever got here. So we're spiritual beings. Okay? So think of that person like that, regardless of what they've done wrong or what they've done to hurt you, okay? So those are some things that you can do. Remain calm. Let the person do all the talking. Consider the other person's point of view. Use statements like, you know what, I see your point. I think I see what you mean. If it gets abusive, put a stop to it. You know, walk out. Don't stay around. And if you're wrong, by all means, admit it. And then visualize the person as a loving spiritual being that's calm, okay? Because remember, what we see is what we begin to speak, and what we speak is who we become. Right? Now, at work, you also have some of the, you can use these same tools at work, okay? Now, but at work, because it's not your spouse, you're not your child, not your parents, you don't have to live with them, you can even decide if you want, you know, you may be able to not even deal with the person, okay? You know, there's, and the jobs have ways to resolve grievances, you know, so that they don't fester and become harder. But if you use some of these principles, you know, you can squash a lot of conflict. But you may want to pull them to the side, get them alone, and talk to them, ask them what's the problem. Don't do it in front of people, because sometimes people, once they have an audience, they get worse, okay? Because now the adrenaline's flowing, they have an audience, they're going to want to perform, okay? So at work, first decide whether you want to even confront the person who's bothering you, who's causing you this conflict. Okay, you decide that you want to resolve it peacefully. You know, find a way to air your grievances with that person. But remember, calm yourself down, all right? Always be polite. Focus on the situation and the facts. Don't deal with gossip and what other people have said, and don't deal with personal attacks, right? Be careful to not to express. Don't express any hostility in your posture. Don't take that one stance where you got your arms folded, because now you already have a offensive posture. Watch your facial expressions. You know, body language is speaking volumes at this point. Don't be aggressive with the person. This is at work. And remember, just in general, listen to the person carefully. You got to hear between the lines. You got to hear between the lines. Try to understand their position. Understand their frustration. Understand why they're being argumentative. It may just be a behavioral trait, but it may be something that they let fester from a year ago, 5 years ago, sometimes even longer than that. So try to hear them out. Ask them what the problem is. And then act like you're really interested in what they're saying. You know, some people can kill me. They're looking all up in the air. They're looking away as you're trying to have a heart-to-heart with them. But don't be like that. Be genuinely interested in what they're saying. Realize and acknowledge when it's time to agree and say, you know, I understand the way you feel, you know, but here's how I feel. You know, deal with your feelings. That's okay. And then communicate what it is you want. You know, I want to be treated with respect here in the workplace. Or when I give ideas and opinions, I want them to be respected. You know, let the person know, I know you don't agree with everything I say. You don't agree with everything I do. But I want to be respected for my thoughts and opinions. Now, keep it on the I. Keep it on the I. And if you have to speak to your supervisor about a problem, know that you can do it, okay? Don't whine. Don't threat. But you can absolutely speak to your manager. That's what they're there for. That's why they're, as I like to say, being paid the big bucks. That's what a manager is there for. A manager or supervisor is trained to handle conflicts properly, respectfully, and in a way that leaves both persons feeling value in a win-win. Now, you may say, well, my manager doesn't have that ability or what have you. You may be a manager who feels that you weren't trained with conflict resolution. Well, guess what? You're being trained with it right here and right now. Okay, here's the training. And every morning you can come to the Pulse Release Show and get tools that you can use in your personal life, your home life, your church life, your synagogue life, or wherever else you worship. You can get help in the community. You can get help right here. Every morning we do this coaching seminar. Every morning where you can learn the tools to be a success. You're without excuse, okay? Now, your company may not be paying for this. I can certainly come. I am a trainer, professional trainer. I can come to your company and do this training. So all you guys do is invite me. I'll come. If it's local, a lot of times I'll come. If they don't have a big budget, that's okay. Whatever budget they have, I will come and I will work with them. If they don't have any budget, I will come and I will bring my books. They can, you know, purchase the books. That's a way to also compensate if they, you know, some desire to do that. But I will be more than likely to come to your company and do this training with your staff. Conflict resolution. I've done this with other companies. Now, tips and warnings. when you have these problematic personalities at work, try to understand what is motivating this behavior. Some people are upset because they didn't get a raise. Some people are upset because they got problems at home. Some people are upset because they have internal issues that they never dealt with. So try to understand the person. Understand there is such a thing known as a workplace bullying. Bullies in the workplace, there is such a thing. There is such a thing as people, just like in schools, on the playground there was a bully. Well, those bullies grew up, and they're bullies in the workplace. But they have to be dealt with properly. HR should be getting involved with this. If you're around a lot of complainers all the time, you know, try to avoid them when you can. But when you can't, try to see what kind of actions that you can take to change the situation. And sometimes it's very simple. You get a person, again, by themselves, don't get them in a crowd, and say to them, what is it that you really want? Okay, I noticed that this has happened, but what is it that you really want? Okay, so at work, you're going to remember to do what while you're at work. You're going to decide if you even want to confront the person. You're going to speak very calmly with the person. You're going to be careful not to express your own hostility. You're going to just take it down, be very quiet. You're going to listen to the person carefully. A lot of times angry people just want to be heard. And maybe you've made a mistake. You never know. You're going to express interest in what you're saying. And then you're going to communicate clearly what you're offering, what positive suggestions and recommendations you have to offer. And you're going to be willing to be flexible to see it their way, to see if you can make the situation smoother. Now, we have a few minutes left to the show. So I want to just kind of touch bases with the relationship. You know, we just talked about just some steps you can do in general, just basic conflict resolution steps. We talked about those earlier, so I don't want to revisit that. And when we talked about at work, now we'll talk about in that personal life, right? Managing conflict. You know, you want to be healthy. You want an ability to recognize and respond to matters in the proper way. You don't want to be explosive and angry and hurtful. And you don't want to be, being resentful of people. You want to be calm. You don't want to be explosive. You don't want to get angry. It causes disease and illness. Again, endorphins in our body can cause us to heal ourselves of cancer, high blood pressure, and sugar diabetes. I'm telling you, just by being happy, okay? And conflict resolution then becomes a way of life for you, all right? So some key things that you want to do in the relationship, again, you want to resolve conflicts very quickly. You know, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. My mother used to suggest to me and my husband that every day we would kiss and, you know, do at least 40 seconds. Hold that kiss for 40 seconds, okay? Little things like this, but conflict resolution, you want to, in your relationship, you want to, it'll reduce your stress, less stress. But when you let things fester and you get resentful and then animosity builds up, you're only going to be tired and worn down. I can't stress this enough to people. Then another thing you want to do is, in a relationship, remember, you got your emotions are running high, their emotions are running high. You've got to learn to recognize your emotions, and you have to learn how to manage them. In a relationship, especially a personal relationship, being aware of your emotions is key to understanding yourself and others. I have to know when my husband is upset or angry. It could be something that his daughter did. It could be something that happened to him on the job. It could be something that happened. You never know. And I can't take myself out of my calm and peaceful and happy state. All right? If you don't know how you're feeling or you're not sure, you know, try to agree to disagree. You don't have to agree on everything. Okay? You don't talk to your spouse. Sit down when you're in a calm state and talk to them and kind of lay down some norms. These are the norms in this relationship. We're not going to get angry at everything you say or I say. I'm not going to take everything you say personally. Sometimes the other person is like joking. They're like kind of joking around a little bit. But we just sometimes we just take it too serious, okay? So also in recognizing these emotions, also another thing you can do to better your personal relationships with your spouse or your partner or what have you, you have to try to improve on your nonverbal communication skills. That's the hand gestures, the facial expressions, your tone of voice. Some people, just their tone of voice can make you angry, just the way they come at you, right? Watch your posture, your touch. Some people are a little too hard. They're a little, it can kind of, you know, brush you the wrong way. And sometimes their gestures, you know. So you got to learn how to improve on your own nonverbal communication skills. And a lot of people, they don't even think about that. They just think about the verbal. They don't realize that they've spoken volumes with their nonverbals. All right? So relationships, resolving, we're talking about resolving conflicts, resolving conflicts in your personal life, in your work life, and in your relationships so that you can be healthy and happy and whole and at peace. Live long. Do great work. Live long. Live happy. Live whole. Go to work not tired, not stressed. Be happy, get more clients, get more customers, have a more productive company. There are some companies who are allowing the lack of great strategic conflict resolution to run their companies in the ground, to destroy them. Nobody will want to come work there. And another thing you could do in your home life, and you can do at work too, as it allows, is to use humor and to play. Okay? Use humor and play to deal with the challenges. Make a joke out of it. Again, when you're laughing, you're releasing these endorphins. The endorphins are medicine to heal our body in a greater way. All right? Being humorous can reduce tension and anger. Keep your house happy. Make your husband, and I used to, I'm telling you, y'all, this is like it's such an eye-opener for me, but sometimes I used to be, like, not really doing that. And my husband, he's, like, big jokester. He loves to laugh. So, anyway, that's all we have time to share with you today. Thank you for staying tuned the entire show. If you have any comments or questions, if you want to learn more strategic moves for conflict resolution, please email me at info@lalisajwilliams.com. And I will try to answer those questions or comments for you. We'll see you back here on the show tomorrow. We have Coach Foshi Walker. He will be a very, very awesome special guest on tomorrow. And it's going to be a great show with him, as it always is. But you need to go and resolve those conflicts today in a peaceful, positive way. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same place. It's been another great show, and I thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge, share the love, share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great, it's been real, it's been awesome, and you got to keep moving on up because in reality, There ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.